Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
Hello. This is fun, man. All kidding aside, this really does feel kind of like a gift from the Lord. We are in the middle of a sermon series called Missio Dei. And without being too cheesy, yeah, I mean, we've got partners and friends literally around planet Earth that are in much more difficult circumstances worshiping God today than we are. You guys know that, right? And so we've got friends in Haiti that literally gang warfare is taking place all around their church buildings. People we know. We got people in Africa that are literally all the stereotypes you may think, but some have nice buildings, but some are very much in huts, and some have people are worshiping in places where it's extremely cold and places where it's extremely hot, and it's relatively comfortable in here, right? And so praise God. But I think this is a gift. I think it's so. We literally have a 3-week sermon series called Missio Dei, which is Latin for the mission of God, and smack dab in the middle of it today, the second week of it, this happens. And I think it's just a reminder from the Lord. It's a gift from God saying, be thankful for what we have, but also don't forget the people around the world that are struggling. I met a guy years ago who came to know the Lord in Mongolia, and at that time it was very difficult for them to worship. I never will forget what he said, because they had to be very careful to be quiet in their church service for fear of persecution. And he said, we would worship very quietly with our mouths, but very loudly in our hearts. And I thought that was really beautiful. So Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this space. We thank you for how you've used us in the past to do mission work around the world, and how you're going to use us in the future. We're also thankful, God, that everybody gets to play, that we all get to do this right here in our own yards, backyards as well. And so, Lord, would you just speak to us today in whatever way you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple things. I'm really mindful that a bunch of you guys are standing or sitting on the ground. I know it's not comfortable. I will cut this sermon in half, all right? I actually did it last service. So we're going to be short and sweet. I just want to get a few main points across to us this morning. And then the one other thing I want to say, I don't know if we need to mention this or not, but a lot of you were hoping to stay for the kids ministry training thing after. They are still doing that, okay? I had several people ask me, so I just wanted to mention that. So if you were staying for that, please still stay. I had a really funny illustration to open it up. It was going to be a yoga story. It was going to crack you. You were going to be in stitches, but I'm going to cut it. Come ask me after. The point, though, of the story was that we often lose sight of what something really is. And the point I was going to use the illustration for was to point us to the church, that so often we lose sight of what the church is actually about. This morning, I want to talk to us about what I think is so central in the life of the church, and that is the mission of God. Some have a concept of the point of the church, and Jesus wants to understand what it really is, and that it's not just a place to come and get right, as we say, but it's something that might actually cost us. Churches is a lot more than maybe what we think, especially here in the Bible Belt. You know, John Wimber, and we've used this before, we've talked about this, John Wimber was the founder of the Vineyard Movement, and he famously said the church is like four things. The ideal church should be four things, four concepts. Wimber said it should be a hospital. Which is certainly true, and I hope it's true of our church, that this is a place where people find healing spiritually, emotionally, physically, and everything in between. The church should be a hospital, and may that be true of this church. And Wimber said, the church should be a family, and I hope you felt welcome today. Man, this is my family. I love our church, and we should find community when we're struggling. Our family lifts us up. So church is a hospital. It's a family. Church should be a school, Wimber said. A place where people can learn and grow in knowledge of the Word of God. And I hope that's true of this church. I know my life has been radically changed by the teaching of both Aaron McCarter and others in this church. And I hope that's true of our church. But then the fourth and final thing that Wimber said is that church should be like an army. And I know that sounds kind of icky. It's like, ooh, church is an army. But it's certainly not an army of war, but an army of peace. An army meant to spread the shalom, the peace of God across planet Earth. Mm-hmm. The way we talk about it here at Maryville Vineyard is we are joining God in the renewal of all things. And Jesus gave us marching orders. If this is like an army, Jesus gave us marching orders. Some of the last things he said on planet Earth, two passages of scripture. One is the one all missionaries quote all the time, right? The Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then the passage I'm going to talk about the most this morning, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus came to his disciples right before he went up to heaven, and he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which was right where they were at, in Judea and Samaria, which was the surrounding region, and to the ends of the earth. Some versions say to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that, I think, is our marching orders. If church is a hospital, a school, what was the other one I said? Make sure you guys are listening. A family. I knew all the time, the whole time. And an army. Then our marching orders are those last things that Jesus said. And those are big marching orders. He said, make disciples all across planet Earth, but don't forget right where you're at as well. And I want to talk about all three of those kind of spheres, Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and ends of the earth. I want to just briefly touch on that as we go through today. You know, a lot of people think of missions, if we think about the church as like, if you use a wheel as an illustration, a lot of people think of missions as one of the spokes on the wheel. But I think we get confused when missions is just another spoke on the wheel. I think missions is the hub of the wheel. If you think about the different spoke of a wheel being like children's ministry and youth ministry and, you know, women's ministry and, you know, benevolence and all these different things, all of those are wonderful. But missions isn't just one of those spokes. It's the hub that drives all of those things. Why do we do children's ministry? Why youth ministry? Why all of these different things? In all of them, the Missio Dei is the thing that fuels them and launches them into existence. The mission of God is the hub of the wheel. And maybe you thought you knew the point of church when you came in here today. A lot of us grew up either going to church or, if nothing else, certainly if you grew up around here, you were exposed to church people, good, bad, and otherwise, right? And maybe we think the point of the church is, you know, fill in the blank. Maybe it's a place to come and get cleaned up, and that's true. Maybe it's, for you, a place to learn a lot about the Bible. That's true. Or a place to find good community. All of those things are true. All of them are good. But the hub of the wheel that allows everything else to function is God's mission. And we believe it is the renewal of all things. It is partnering with God on his mission. And that's the great honor of the church. Now, last week, if you were here, we heard from some of our South African friends with the Vineyard. If you weren't here last week, man, you got to get that podcast. Andrew Christie spoke and opened up this sermon series. Andrew is an incredible guy and did a great job. Real quick before I go on, right after the second service last week, my wife Amanda and I took, and our two kids, Ellie and Emerson, we took those two guys, Dave and Andrew, who you saw on stage, and then their wives were here, Mandy and Colleen. We took them to the place where everybody coming to East Tennessee should go for the first time, and that is the exotic land of Gatlinburg. So they all got in their cars. We went and got something to eat in Knoxville. And then the guys were in one car with me, so I had Dave and Andrew and my son Emerson. And then in the other car, Amanda was driving Colleen and Mandy and our daughter Ellie. And we're going toward Gatlinburg, and we had a plan. We said the first place they should go off the interstate is in Sevierville, and that is Smoky Mountain Knife Works. They definitely should see that. And while we were in there, Andrew was really interested in the gun section. You got to understand, they have, if you've never been there, they have a lot of guns, big guns. And Andrew is from a country, South Africa, where the gun laws are very strict, okay? It takes a long time to get a gun, if you can get one. So he's fascinated. He's like, Josh, you can buy one pretty quickly. I was like, watch this. And I went up to the guy behind the counter, good old boy, and said, will you just let him know how quickly we could get a gun today? And he said, oh, buddy, let me tell you, I'll have you out of here in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, tops with any gun you want. And Andrew's, welcome to my country. Andrew's mind was blown. He goes outside, and if you've never been to Smoky Mountain Knife Works, there's a big building close to it, and in that, there's a shooting range, and in the very same building, there is a moonshine distillery. His mind, again, blown. It didn't stop there. We got back in the car. We made our way toward Gatlinburg. I don't know if you've driven through Pigeon Forge lately, but Dave had never seen it, and he's sitting beside me, and he said, "Josh, what's that big gorilla doing on the side of the building?" And he looked at the other side. He's like, "Why is that building upside down?" Minds were blown. And Andrew, at that point, said, "This is exactly what I thought America was going to be like." Yeah. I didn't tell him otherwise. I said, "Yep, this is the whole country, buddy. It's all like this." Andrew last week mentioned that we need to not only do missions overseas, but in our own backyard. One of the things he talked about is that the Holy Spirit empowers all of us, that everybody gets to play to do the mission work of God. And it's not just for missionary types. It's literally from the youngest to the oldest of us that get to participate in this Missio Dei. And today I want to talk a little bit about what our local church does overseas, and then I just real quickly after that want to finish by giving us a tool that we can do in our own backyards. I'm going to skip over a bunch of stuff here because I told you I was going to keep it short. If you were going to summarize the two things that we're doing overseas as a church, if I were going to give you kind of two concepts, they are these. We are working with unreached people groups and have a high value of that. And number two, we are joining God in renewal projects. Now, with that first thing, if you've been here for a while now, you've heard me talk about how God has called us to do work amongst unreached people groups, specifically in West Africa. You may say, unreached people groups, what is that? Those are people groups where at least 98% of the people have not heard about Jesus. And then you also have something called unreached, unengaged people groups, and that's where people not only have not heard about Jesus, but don't even have access to find out about Jesus. In other words, there's no churches, there's no missionaries, there's nothing happening there where they would have access. And that's really the heartbeat of our churches, is to join God in going and exposing people to Jesus without doing the whole colonizing type mentality, but rather identifying persons of peace that are already in those communities and sharing the love of God with them, and then having a multiplicative effect amongst the people there. Scripture talks about unreached people groups a lot. You may say, "Well, I've never heard that term, unreached people groups, in the Bible." Well, you have if you heard the word nations. Nations can be translated into a word ethne, and we'll see it in Scripture in just a minute. And ethne is what the Bible means when it says nations. Those are people that are bound together by language and culture. And check this out. There is approximately 17,000 ethne on planet Earth today. Give or take a little bit. 17,000. Those are people groups that are bound by language and culture. And of those 17,000, approximately 7,000 are considered unreached. Let your mind wrap around that. Here's another number. There are roughly 8 billion, just north of 8 billion people in the world now, and roughly 3.2 billion have never heard about Jesus. Not only don't know Jesus, they never heard about Jesus. That's crazy. That's crazy. I was going to have a map up behind us showing something called the 1040 window. If you're not familiar with that, it's basically the stretch across planet Earth that goes roughly from West Africa through East Asia, and it's where the vast majority of these unreached people groups exist. People who don't have access to Jesus. Now, Scripture talks about this. Let me give you a few passages real quickly. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is when God was commissioning Father Abraham. And he said this to Abraham. "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a," here it is, "great nation." That's ethne. "I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt." And here it is again. "All the families," ethne, "on earth will be blessed through you." So it wasn't just a blessing for Abram, but through his family line, and we know eventually through Jesus, all the families on earth, all the ethne on earth will be blessed. Now, Jesus talked about this too. Skip ahead to the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, these are the words of Jesus. "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all ethne," all nations, "will hear it, and then the end will come." Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, we already read that. In the Great Commission itself, this term is used. Therefore, go and make disciples of all ethne, baptizing them. And he goes on and gives the rest of the Great Commission. And it's all throughout the teachings of Jesus. If you go to the very last book of the Bible, we see this as well. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and ethne." And then finally, in Revelation 7, 9 through 10, "After this, I saw a vast crowd." I love this picture. "A vast crowd, too great to count, from every ethne and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.'" And our church, one of the goals of our church, when we look at Acts 1:8, it says Jerusalem, right where we're at, Judea and Samaria, the surrounding regions, and the ends of the earth. We believe one of our great calls as a church is when we talk about the ends of the earth, we want to consider these unreached people groups, these ethne that don't know Jesus. I was going to have some great pictures behind me. I don't, obviously. It's showing a lot of the places that we're working, and God is moving. God is using us to work with unreached people groups. We started in the Ivory Coast. That work has now gone into Mali and Guinea. And I'll just tell you guys, we're seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come to Jesus, many of which coming from these unreached people groups. And the second focus I told you internationally is we focus on renewal projects. And there's too many to name, but here's just a few international renewal projects. In Haiti, we have, you've heard us talk about the Freedom House. This is a ministry for kids, many of which come from a form of indentured servanthood, or you could call it slavery. And God has impacted these kids incredibly through people like you and through the life of our church. Many of these kids are going toward adulthood now. And they're going to have a shot to make it when a lot of them absolutely would not have a shot if they even survived. And so that's one of the renewal projects. We've got also in Haiti something called Access Health Alliance, which the Abercrombies helped start. And this is a healthcare program and a clinic that's up in the mountains of Haiti in a place that where people had very little access to healthcare. Many of you don't know, but we're doing Bible translation projects across West Africa, specifically with people who don't have the Bible translated into their heart language. This is an incredible ministry that that we're a part of. We have job creation and economic empowerment happening both in Haiti and in the Ivory Coast, and that now is also extending into Guinea and Mali. A newer thing in the life of our church is, and this is happening largely through our youth group, which they're going to have another mission trip to the Dominican Republic this year, but we've been able to see God reconcile Haitians with Dominicans, and that's a beautiful thing. Quickly, that mission trip that's happening this summer with the youth, we're actually going to have American, Haitian, and Dominican kids all coming together to have basically a conference in which they're going to ask the Holy Spirit to empower them together, and then they're going to go out into different Dominican and Haitian churches. And if you don't know, historically, Dominicans and Haitians, a lot of times they don't get along. They share an island, they don't get along. There's a lot of tension there. This is just a smattering of the renewal projects that God has allowed us to participate in. So unreached people groups, renewal, these are two giant points of focus in our church. And guys, we're really trying to kind of widen the scope of, or invite more and more people into these experiences. I want, my dream is that in these next few years, we're going to have more and more short-term mission trips where many of you will go and be involved. I can't give away too much yet because we're putting a lot of plans in place, but even in the next year, we're going to be offering more short-term mission trips. Also, we've got a missions team that has come together, and so it's not just myself that's helping coordinate a lot of our mission stuff, but we've got a missions team that's come together that includes Travis Cooper, Derek Hunt, Becky Gay, Chris Sigmund, Heather Mounts, John Rawls, Amy Roberts, David and Brittany Pritchett, and Daniel and Natalie Abercrombie. And we are going to have a lot of exciting stuff to roll out in terms of helping our church engage in missions internationally. Speaking of Becky, who was on that team, Becky, throw your hand up. She's right here. I think that's your silhouette. Here in a second, I'm actually going to give you Becky's email. I was going to obviously have it on the screen, but I'm just going to have to say it to you. Becky is helping coordinate our prayer efforts for missions. And we, years ago, we did a better job of praying and getting our people to pray for the nations. And we've kind of gotten away from that. And Becky is really helping us coordinate prayer efforts. And so here in a minute, I'll give you her email where you can find out how to do that. Couple more things, ways of getting involved that we're really going to hopefully provide more and more opportunities are praying or educating. We're really going to be looking at how to better educate our church and what is missions and how do we get involved, and certainly giving and going. And so these are all things that are coming for the future. But the last couple things I want to say here, I told you I was going to be short, is when we look at Acts 1:8, my hope, my desire for our church is that we never get too out of balance when we think about Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and ends of the earth. We never want to do so much overseas that we're not being missional in our own backyard. And we never want to get so inclusive here in our little part of Maryville that we lose sight of what God is doing around Blount County. We want to think about all three of these spheres, okay? And that's really my hope and desire. I think we do it. I think we can do a better job. Andrew talked about Jesus last week as a lion. And he said, you don't have to protect a lion. You just have to let him out of his cage. You guys remember when he said that? That impacted me so much. And that's my hope and desire for us as a church when it comes to missions, that we don't just get all fat and happy in who we are and celebrate all the things that we are as a church and just be another church in Blount County, but that we are partnering with the Jesus that is let out of the cage, and in so doing, we are let out of the cage because we have him in us, that everybody gets to participate in the missional endeavors that are near and dear to God's heart, that the Missio Dei becomes all of our mission as we join God in the renewal of all things. We have a men's prayer group, or a men's group, that meets at my house on Thursdays. It's been just really good. I love those guys and getting to know them. And my friend Travis Cooper was praying this last Thursday, and I think God's stirring something in that group. I just think there's some guys God's really speaking to. Travis prayed at the end of it, and his prayer has stuck with me these last few days. I can't shake it, because he was praying this nice prayer. He's a pretty eloquent guy, and he got about halfway through it, and he just stopped, and he got choked up, and he said, I don't want to be a domesticated Christian anymore.
Amen.
I thought, man, that's a word for our church. Yeah. It's a word for our church. We would not just be, man, there's hundreds of churches in this county, a lot of good ones too, a lot of good ones. And may we not just be the status quo, may we be filled with the Holy Spirit to do the things that God is calling us to do, not just to be another church, not just to come in to get our act cleaned up. We need to get cleaned up, we need to get healed, but it's so that we can be unleashed with the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us.
Yeah, that's good.
So, I'm going to ask, I think David's going to come up, is that right? Somebody? Anybody? I'm not leading worship. Nobody wants that. Hey, you got a note card? And you don't have to use the note card, but I do want to encourage, if you're not using the note card, to get your phone out. And I don't think we put pens out. Heather, do we put pens out? There are pens lying around. And if not, I've got extra pens. You want to help hand those out, maybe? If you need a pen, look, definitely put it in your phone. I would love for you to consider actually using a note card, an index card. We're going old school today. It's going to be a little cleaner if we did it in there, so this is going to be awkward, but I'm gonna pause and be quiet here in a minute and get you guys to chew on what God might be saying to you to write down. But let me go ahead and start giving you instructions. Again, you can put it in your phone if you'd rather. We're talking about all the stuff overseas, but I'm going to ask on one side of the note card, or again, if you're doing it in your phone, but on one side, give us some instructions of how to think missionally, just a simple tool of how we can think missionally right here in our Jerusalem. And then on the other side of the note card, I'm going to give you, here in a minute, I'm going to give you Becky's email, and then also a couple of other things to write down of how to pray and get involved in missions internationally. All right, on the top of the side that has lines on it, or again, if you're doing it on your phone, do it like that. I want you to put the word bless. And then we're going to be quiet for a minute. I want you to consider a name of somebody in your social circles that either doesn't know Jesus or is far away from Jesus right now. All right? If it's you, write it on the write your name on it. I'm just kidding. But it might be. Somebody who doesn't know Jesus or somebody who's far away from Jesus. And here in a minute, I'm going to give you some instructions of what to write under there. But I'm just going to be quiet for about 30 seconds. And I'm going to pray that God brings to all of our mind's eyes somebody that we need to write. So bless whoever that person is. You can write it whenever you're ready. Lord Jesus, as we're quiet right now, just Holy Spirit, would you bring into the forefront of our minds somebody that is far away from you and that needs to know you. Somebody right here in our Jerusalem, in Maryville, Tennessee, in Alcoa, somebody right here in our county. Would you highlight somebody to us now? Here's the instructions for under that. If you're still thinking, keep thinking. We're going to write out the acronym BLESS. I've actually given this to you guys before. It's been a while. It's just a simple tool. But so write B-L-E-S-S. And then write these words beside them. B is for body. We're going to pray for people's physical well-being. So that person on the top of your car, we want to pray physically that God blesses them. L is for labor. Whatever they put their hands to, if they work, if they're in school, if they're taking care of kids at home, whatever the case may be, what they spend their time doing, we want to pray over that. This is a holistic way of praying over somebody. E is for emotions. Emotions. Pray that their inner life, that God would start working in their inner life. Maybe they have anxiety or depression or whatever the case may be. I want to pray over their inner life. And the first S is social. That's for their relationships, very simply. Pray for their social life, for their relationships. And then the last S is spiritual. Pray for their walk with God. If they don't have one, pray that they come to know God in a natural or supernatural way, however God wants to do it, but spiritual. So again, it's body, labor, emotions, social, spiritual. And I want to challenge you guys this week. This is a way, a very easy, practical way that you can start to pray for somebody right here in Jerusalem that doesn't know Jesus. Pray over them holistically. I want to challenge you to pray that prayer, those prayers over them every single day. And if God gives you an opportunity out of that prayer life to share his love with them in a practical way, look for that opportunity. Everybody gets to play. Everybody can do this stuff. If you'll flip the card over, or again, if you're doing it in your phone, on the other side, I want you to take down Becky's email. And to be clear, Becky is going to start sending out some prayer requests of how we can specifically pray for our partners and friends in the nations. And Becky's email is ssbecky, B-E-C-K-Y, Lee, L-E-E, at gmail.com. Is that right? Okay. ssbeckylee at gmail.com. One of my hopes for our church is that we would mobilize to pray for people across the nations, across the ethne. All right. I had a lot of other stuff to give you, but I know we've already been, it's for those of you standing especially, we've been going kind of long here. I'll finish with this. And then we're going to go into worship and ministry time. Again, Acts 1:8. Jesus said this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, hallelujah, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I just want to finish by saying, what if that instruction from Jesus was reframed for our church in our day? What if Jesus was standing right here in front of us today, and what if he said this? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Maryville, throughout Blount County, in East Tennessee, and to the ends of the earth. May that be our call, amen, from Jesus as a church. Hallelujah. So, David's going to lead us in a song. If you guys will go ahead and stand. I'm going to pray for us, and then he'll do that, and then... Aaron, are you going to give instructions from there? Okay. Lord Jesus, may the things we've talked about today not be only aspirational. Would you use us to be your hands and feet? We thank you for the honor of getting to join you in the Missio Dei, the mission of God. As Wimber said, we just want to be loose change in your pocket. Spend us however you want. And we pray again, come Holy Spirit.